Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Big Tuesday show today. Don't often say that, and I'm not sure if I mean it, Morgan.
Oh, that's fair.
I'm going to be real with you. Yeah, we'll find out.
If you set
what's that noise?
Hold on. What, Morgan? God damn it! Do you recognize this song? You were a Blackwater mercenary in Iraq.
Yeah, keep on rolling.
Yeah, you got to keep on rolling, brother. Old Blackwater.
I don't know what this song is.
The Doobie Brothers, man. This is Blackwater.
I don't know what it is.
It's what the whole goddamn operation was named after. The Doobie Brothers.
That's true. Eric Prince is a big fan.
Yeah, huge fan. Come on. Right. Here's the chorus, dude.
He doesn't look like a dude that would be a fan of the Doobie Brothers.
Sure does, dude. This is it. The whole thing in Iraq was over this.
I haven't spent much time with Eric, but I don't think he's ever done a drug in his life.
Yeah, I think he has. I think he's done a lot of drugs, actually. I don't know him either.
I think he should. Thank you, Bob.
Shout out to the Doobie Brothers. We got Morgan Lorette on the show today. Brand new book, Guns, Girls, and Greed. I was a Blackwater mercenary in Iraq. A lot of people have lied about being in Blackwater, though.
Yeah. No, I'm one of them. I made everything up.
Gotta make sure.
No, I 04 to 05, I was in the original Blackwater crew for the State Department. So I had to write a book about it.
You had to.
Yeah, nobody else said, let's talk bad about him, let's talk good about him. Like, let's just give the ground truth. Like, we were fucking crazy. That's just life.
What was it?
It was absolutely insane. It's like, add combat and then high amounts of alcohol intake and see what people do when they don't really have any rules.
It sounds like Mongolians to
me. Sure does.
Right?
Sure does.
Like, what were they in Game of Thrones, Bob? Dothraki.
Yeah.
That's who they were modeled after, the Mongolians.
Nailed it,
just drink, fuck, and kill. That's those are the only three things you need to know about.
Yeah. But who are you fucking over in Iraq?
Look, it was all
dudes. Whomever's available.
You just get lonely.
Hole's a hole.
Yeah.
We've talked about the donkey on the past. Did he ever tell you that donkey story?
Well, no, but I've seen the video.
Of the guy brushing the donkey?
I didn't see the one brushing the donkey, but there's a few out on YouTube where you can see it.
Oh, there's a bunch.
Yeah. On YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They blur it out?
No, because it's in thermal.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Oh,
so it's just like black and white. It looks like, it's gray, I guess, more gray and white, but... in my case, the dude groomed and then fucked his donkey every night.
Yep.
And then went down to sleep next to it and hay or whatever the fuck was on the ground there. Who knows, right?
Love is love.
Yeah, you cuddled, I guarantee.
And he asked me when I told him the story, because it's a story that a lot of people who've been in our position know all too well. He asked who was holding the donkey. No one.
No one was.
Which implies consent, in my opinion, right?
The donkey didn't run away.
Yeah.
He was there every night.
The donkey's got legs that could kick your fucking beanbag right off your body.
Sure could.
And if he doesn't, I feel like that is consent.
Yeah.
It's like Munchausen syndrome, right? Like the donkey had Munchausen. It was just like...
By proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, by proxy. Gypsy Rose kind of went through something like that. You know?
Who the fuck is Gypsy Rose?
Oh,
most
man,
famous woman
out.
In the world right now. Yeah. Even you know who Gypsy is.
Who is she?
Little sex beast. She's out there.
She's got a stateside.
She sure does.
Oh, she killed somebody?
Yeah,
dude. All right,
guys don't have a stateside.
She didn't kill.
You had my curiosity, now you have my interest.
I think she fucking helped kill him.
She didn't kill.
Attention.
The mom, but that's me personally.
Oh, you said sex beast? She's a fat retard.
Hang on.
No.
We'll get to it.
It's the skinny one on the left.
Then.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's a skinny, toothless retard?
Now, here's where shit gets dark.
She's got metal teeth.
D'Anthony, the mom.
Is she octopussy? What the fuck is this?
The mom had the teeth removed, salivary glands. And what are the, like, tear ducts, too? She can't cry or something like that?
Salivary glands.
That's what I said.
Like Salvatore Dali?
Yeah, that's what I said. Rewind the tape, dude.
It's identical. Salivary.
We're not here for that. We're not here for that, guys. We all know what I said.
I think it's really important to be precise when you're talking about toothless retards.
Okay. Now, with this toothless retard, she gets out of prison and starts boning this fat dude, and people were making fun of her on the internet.
I believe a veteran or active duty soldier.
Correct.
Ooh. Man,
thank you for your service.
We're collecting all kinds of poon lately. That fucking, the girl with two heads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then this bitch. Congratulations. Like, hey, man, you know what? America's paying us back, finally.
Yeah, well, she got her teeth fixed.
She got her teeth fixed. She's got a nose job over the weekend, and they're divorced.
Oh, so she's available.
Apparently, correct. Apparently, he was hoarding food. That is not a...
Oh, yeah. Man.
He was hoarding food.
So she's never met a normal human being in her fucking life, then, is what you're saying.
No. That's a good pick. That's the best pick of her you could probably post right there.
She's got the body type of a girl that probably is fun to have sex with, to be honest.
Maybe. But is that who you were having sex with in Iraq?
It sounds like she's had a difficult time.
I'm guessing there's a lot of mommy and daddy issues like that. Oh, I hate my family.
She's going to work.
Well, she killed the moms.
We should introduce her to Gary. I think she and Gary will be simpatico.
I think so, too. She's now single, too, so she's out there and available. But is that the talent level that you were working with over there?
No, that's much better than most of them.
Oh, really?
By age, most Iraqi girls are deadlined. Right.
Well, he's talking to locals. I mean, I'm just talking about like the military girls, the overseas beauty queens. Yeah. Like they just.
Is it that bad?
Well, so.
Baghdad 10 is a U.S. 4.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, it's like basketball, right? It's like five guys fighting five other guys over one hole, right? Just straight up back and forth.
And most of them are black.
Damn it, dude. Really?
No.
Oh, all right.
It just basketball makes sense.
No, I understand that, but this story keeps getting worse. And I was like, of course. Yeah, it makes sense at this point.
I mean, I call them war pigs. I'd like to think I came up with that.
You think that's what Ozzy was talking about?
Yeah, that's the entire song is about.
He was talking about fucking
women overseas.
Ugly girls on tour.
Yeah.
A hole's a hole, as long as there's a little heat in there, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We're going to get into the book today and everything else, but I was serious at the top of the show. There's a lot of people, oddly, that lie about being in Blackwater and everything else. Does it just sound cool?
It sounds really cool.
It's just a good lie to tell, like, out in the streets to chicks and things like that?
I think if you're, like, over 40, it probably sounds cool. If you're younger, like you know, if the 40-year-old that used to work for Blackwater is, like, at the bar with 20-somethings, mm-hmm. they probably don't care. But, you know, Blackwater was all the rage back in the day.
It was.
Yeah.
Everybody talked about it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, Blackwater. Until you guys started fucking lighting up random civilians and shit.
Yeah, details. Come on, dude.
Then shit gets wild.
Until you get banned from Iraq for 6 months, come back with a new name. That's my favorite part of all of airports and shit.
The funny story is that, like, Triple Canopy took over that contract, mm-hmm. literally walked into the Blackwater.
Now it's the same company, right?
You guys are all Triple Canopy employees now. Everybody stayed.
Yeah, for the most part.
They just kicked out Blackwater as like an LLC.
That's the same way it worked. So the security company that I ran in California, one of our clients was the California State Lottery, right? So we took over the contract for it, and it was all the same people. Like we didn't change any of the personnel. It was just who manages the contract.
And the title, essentially.
Yeah, but who cares about that?
Well, in this case.
Like, all you do is change shirts.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? And you keep killing civilians.
Yeah.
Or whatever comes up, you know.
So let's start from the beginning with you personally here. When did you decide to enlist and why?
Oh, man, 1999. There was no wars going on. It was great. They were going to pay for my college and stuff. I was like, why the heck wouldn't I? So I joined the Air Force because my grandfather was in World War II, and he said, hey, go to the Air Force. They have the best food. And as intelligent as I am, that was like the driving force of why I should join the military. Like, hey, get out of small town. They have the best food.
Yeah.
So I joined up, and then September 11th happened, and it was like, oh.
But you're two years in at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of the dead zone. And that's why I ask everybody who comes on the show of when they joined. Typically, everybody says 9/11. I wanted to help my country and get in there and get nasty with shit after 9/11.
No, he was just trying to get free college.
Yeah.
That's all you were trying to do.
Yeah.
And so there was no thought in your mind that, oh, hey, man, the terrorist attack is going to happen. And then I'm going to be involved in some crazy shit like this.
No, I mean, look, if George Bush doesn't know about it, I sure as heck didn't. 19-year-old Cottonwood, Arizona, just walking around with my shirt buttoned at the top, I don't know, Nirvana was big. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. So zero idea. You're 18 years old and you enlist?
I was 19, yeah.
Okay.
I enlisted. I went in, did basic training in AIT. I even joined, like, the National Guard because I didn't want to, like, leave home because I was, like, a little baby boy. So
yeah.
I came back and September 11th happened. Dude, this is, like, the coolest story. I was in college and my beeper went off.
Now, fuck up.
No, for everybody.
Who was the page? Who paged you?
My base paged me and said, get your... Well, they hit the, like, 911 and put their number down because that's what you did back then.
But that's,
like,
also 9/11.
Ooh.
Double entendre there. So did you know, hey, is this important or, oh, fuck, it's 9/11 going down.
He's just telling me what day it is.
Just this is a reminder on your beeper. Hey, by the way, today's September 11th.
Yeah, no, I assume maybe something was going on with the whole plane thing that I'd been watching on TV, but that didn't
stop
me.
So you were watching it as this went down?
Yeah.
Okay. Because everybody knows where they were. Obviously, I knew where I was. I was in L.A., and somebody had to wake me up because it was very early in the morning in L.A. at that point. And for you, you get this page, and then are you immediately like, oh, fuck, I might have to actually do something about this?
A little bit, you know. It's like, oh, something's going on. So what happens when you have, like, a terrorist attack on U.S. soils? Everybody goes to DEFCON 4. Like, it's literally all hands on deck. So everybody got called up from the National Guard. They gave me a big water cooler in Phoenix. September 11th, hot as fuck in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I sat on that and I watched the highway on I-10. I just watched the highway for like a solid 18 hours before they thought, hey, maybe we'll give this guy some like sunscreen.
But did they tell you, hey, here's why you're watching this highway? Because we're worried about terrorist attacks everywhere else?
No.
Okay. They just said, watch the highway?
They said, watch. So you have like different protocols, right? So for every 300 yards of fence line, you had to have somebody that was posted there.
No shit.
Yeah.
No.
So it's literally just like.
It's in a field manual somewhere that's how you do it.
Interesting.
Yes. It's weird. But I mean, in a situation where central command isn't readily available, it's a good thing to have that kind of thing. It seems tedious and retarded when you're the guy standing there, but it does make sense to some degree to have that shit, to be honest.
But I actually, as a civilian, I like to know these stories because when that all unfolded and it was complete chaos in Los Angeles at that time on the news, there was so many different wild speculations and there was planes heading to LAX and, you know, they were going to crash them and everything else. We didn't know what the fuck was going on. It is nice to know that there was a plan, at least in other cities and everywhere else, of like, okay, cool. People were watching out for us.
Well, on the base, you guys were still fucked.
Oh, wait,
yeah, like the base was highly secure, so you don't have to sweat that.
So
I was
this was
okay.
Just to protect the base and not everybody else?
Yeah. Yeah, you're, dude, you're SOL, bro.
Never mind. All right, so we should keep a scoreboard here today. That's on the loser side of things, okay? That's not part of Guns, Girls, and Greed, I can tell you that. Then afterwards, did they say, all right, we're heading over to Iraq and you're getting ready and you're actually going to have to get out of the National Guard and do something?
No. It was like Afghanistan had kicked off. And then we only had like 10 to 13,000 troops in Afghanistan for the longest time. So we were like going to Oman, Saudi Arabia, all these other areas in the Middle East. Like we would deploy there, come home. And then I actually just had a hernia surgery like early 2003. And we had a group that was over in Jordan, super secret base in Jordan, doesn't exist, but it's where we were like sending people in looking for Scuds. And I went to that Jordanian airbase and they said, hey, we're going into Iraq. And I was like, well, come on, of course. George Bush is saying we're going into Iraq, like we're probably going into Iraq. So we did the Jordanian airbase. The Jordanians got called out for having Americans. So they booted us to Kuwait because Kuwait's like, fuck Iraq, come on, bring everybody here.
Yeah.
So we stayed in Kuwait and then... the ground offensive kicked off, like the shock and awe all hit. I got a newspaper from Kuwait that's just a bunch of squiggly little letters and stuff, but I assume it says, like, you know, the Americans have invaded.
Yeah, and then you sent me some Saddam Hussein dollars here.
Yeah.
It's 250. What is that worth?
I think they're called fun bucks.
Oh, are they?
Is what they call them, yeah. Because he was a big prankster.
That's what I heard.
A lot of people don't know that about.
Yeah, about Saddam Hussein. Saddam, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, ha, 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 I'm going to whip you with an electrical cord.
I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah.
I'm going to steal $2 billion worth of currency out of my own bank and flee the country. But instead, he just went into a hole in the ground, which is kind of a weird choice.
Now, at the time, and we're, you know, invading Iraq and all that other shit, are you all in and you think, okay, cool, this is definitely who did this because our president is sending us there? Obviously, yeah. We know now that it's Saudi Arabia. But at the time, did you know? Were you questioning it? Or were you all in of like, fuck yeah, America, and this we're doing the right thing right now?
Oh, 100% the right thing. Because, yeah. I mean, A, you're a soldier or an airman at the time, and you train to do this job. And any chance you get to actually do the job sounds really cool.
Because mostly right? What you're doing is like sweeping and cutting grass.
Yeah.
Like yeah. You're basically, if you're not actively involved in doing your job, and by the way, for big military, not like soft or anything, I would say, back me up on this, 85% of the time you're doing something other than your job, maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you need a tank to roll through downtown Boston, right? Like, you're not just taking your tank out.
Summer 2020 would have been nice, right? Yeah.
But most times, yeah, you're correct.
I think civilians, we should posse up, right? Mm-hmm. I think we need to get rid of the military entirely.
And just posse up.
And just posse up.
Yeah.
Whenever it's time. Like, hey, you want to go?
Just grab your HOA group.
And here's the keys.
Head out there.
Here's the keys of the Humvee.
And yeah, and then you're good to go. I think you're fine on that, right?
I mean, Texas is going to secede anyway at some point, right?
I would hope so.
You guys just need to hit, like, Lackland and grab all their tanks or fighter jets or whatever it is they have down
that's
there.
That's what you said last time, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, yeah. Because I get into these arguments with people all the time about how armed should local police be
yep.
or should whatever, right? And part of me agrees that having more shit locally would make it easier to steal in an insurgency situation. So maybe, I guess I could be okay with that.
Only on that though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For the rest of it, you're like, nah, we don't really need that.
Well, they need it, but does their need outweigh the balance of liberty?
Yeah.
Wait. You're telling me the Austin PD needs to have an MRAP so that they can go and rock and roll the grandma that was over there at September or January 6th.
JJ6, like, the J6 like, grandma?
Yeah.
Well, she was feisty, man.
I've been.
You never knew what she had.
I've actually been corrected on something recently. The thing that we showed a couple of weeks ago was not an MRAP. It's called a Bearcat. Are you familiar with that? I don't even know what that is.
I mean, they're all the same thing.
But
right?
it's way smaller.
Yeah.
It's like a way smaller version of it, and it's supposedly defensive only. Maybe that's true. I don't know.
Okay.
But. Either way.
Yeah, either way. You're going through the middle of this, and are you deployed? Are you out there fighting? What are you doing at this point?
No, so we started the first aerial supply route at Talil Air Base. It's where Jessica Lynch got rescued. Mm. And then we sat
there. You guys were the first non-State Department people in the country, I think, right?
We were, so not in the country, because you had the ground offensive moving up.
Sure, but I mean like in the northern part of the country. Because originally the 82nd was supposed to jump in from Turkey, and Turkey told us to fuck off. We couldn't use their airspace.
So I was south. Talil was south.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the 173rd did like a half-ass jump up in
Kurdistan.
That's
not real. Yeah. That's not real. So, that area was cordoned off by, what, 2nd Ranger, I think? Or 1st Ranger, maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, and it's Kurdistan. It's like the Kurds have their entire army, and it's the safest place.
It would be like jumping into Connecticut, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Beautiful this time of year. I'm sure it was the same over there, you know? A lot of trees. All the seasons were great.
The only redeeming factor of the ground offensive is it's like so flat when the sun comes up. It takes like the whole horizon.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's absolutely gorgeous. And then once the sun like gets past the horizon, the heat hits you in the face. And it's all Kim gear, right? Because Saddam was going to gas us at any given moment. So you got all your Kim gear on. We had one plate. They only gave us one plate at the time.
Well,
they were like, front or back, like, we don't have any shit for you guys.
You don't want to get shot running away.
Yeah, so you put it in the front, but you know damn good and well that you're probably going to get shot in the back because I run away as a bitch. But
Makes sense.
Or if you link up with any kind of Iraqi force at all, the chances of them shooting the enemy versus shooting you in the back?
Pretty high.
Pretty low.
Really?
Yeah. So their idea of 360-degree security is just to shoot in every direction.
Whatever happens, happens then at that point.
It works for them.
Yeah. And so then when do you become a contractor and join Blackwater?
So a couple of the guys I was in the Air National Guard with were like former recon Marines, and they were like, I'm going to go join Blackwater. Blackwater, March 03, had the four guys hanged off the bridge in Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, have fun.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like an absolutely insane way to die.
And you got
to gig.
You got to remember some of the history behind this, too. So there was one of the original PMCs is called Executive Outcomes out of South Africa, right? And they essentially, a small group of them dropped into Sierra Leone and took over the entire country. And the UN was like, nope. You can't just own a private military and send it in somewhere because you want their diamonds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And effectively, PMCs were banned from a lot of international activity by the UN, banned, whatever banned by the UN means, right? That doesn't actually mean anything. But Blackwater started to ramp up, what, in 97, 98, something like that, in Kosovo and Bosnia and shit like that. They were doing some contracts, but mostly it was protecting diplomats and shit, if I'm not mistaken.
So they ramped up in, like, 96 after 96. Columbine, because it was a training location.
That's right. They were training police and shit, yeah.
And then in 03, they did the Bremer detail. Mm-hmm. So Paul Bremer that was running Iraq. So they protected him. And then the State Department, here's where we fundamentally fucked up in Iraq. And everybody can argue with this. But we got rid of the Ba'ath Party. So nobody knew how to run a country. And then what we did is we put in the diplomats and said, hey, go teach these guys how to, like, land airplanes and, like, pump oil and, you know, clean garbage cans. Like, everything that you do as a regular city in the world. Like, let's teach these guys how to do it.
And run a schedule.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, something is as simple as, yeah, how many hours are there in 1 week? 168.
Yeah, I knew that. 24 times 7.
The reason I know that is because I've written schedules, right? But nobody over there had done it. That small stuff that nobody thinks about, they had no idea how to do any logistics at all. Basically.
Oh, that's funny. So looking back on it, are we shocked that it all collapsed? Or
No,
of course it collapsed.
No, come on. So our job was essentially to take people from, like, point A to point B, and they didn't want to put a military face on it, right? Because we're no longer in active combat. We're in, like,
mission was accomplished,
mode.
If yeah. you recall.
Yeah, sure was.
There was a sign.
We made the banner, dude.
Yeah.
I don't
we
know
won
what
it.
Your fucking problem is.
We won it. Yeah, it was good. We were fine. And during it, when you end up in it, are you thinking to yourself, well, shit, I don't want to be one of the four guys that was fucking hung over the bridge there.
Yeah, but they give you, like, so much money that it kind of makes you forget about it.
Well,
that.
That's where I was going with it. What was the dollar amount?
$500 a day and then a 10% bonus. So you're making $550 a day, 23 years old, and it's like, well...
Tax-free?
No. You have to pay taxes. If you stay...
Up to $70K, maybe?
Well...
If you're there for over one half of the year...
330 days.
It's 330? Yep. Damn, that's not the same for, like, a normal business.
Yeah, so then you're considered an expatriate if you're there for 330 days out of 365. Mm. And then you don't have to pay taxes on your first 85,000. So
85,
you make 200.
Okay. Actually, yep. it's yep. higher now. I think it's 105 now,
probably.
But whatever.
Yeah. This was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Sure.
Inflation.
Okay,
shit.
That makes sense.
It is, yeah, because my fraternity brother went over there to you know, he served, then he went back to contract. And he just kept doing it because he goes, I can't make this money in the fucking real
world. Well, that was 03, 04, right? Mm-hmm. By 6 to 10, that number was like $2,000 a day.
It got crazy.
Yeah.
Because his said originally when he started, and I want to say his was probably 01, 02 at that point. It was around 100. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 02, 03. It was 100K tax-free. That was the gig. And it was a certain amount of days. I want to say it was 200 or 250 days. And then he was just like, dude, I can't make that money in America unless I became a lawyer or something. Because they're going to tax me on this money. They'd be making essentially $150 a year, blah, blah, blah.
Well, if he was like a real PMC, he would have had the body to be a stripper. He could have definitely made that kind of cash.
He was bald is the problem. Had the body.
Yeah.
Didn't have the hair.
Johnny Sins is bald, bitch.
Now. But
Johnny Sins
then.
Was always bald.
No. But
find a picture of Johnny Sins with hair.
Are we talking top or bottom here?
No, we're talking here.
Oh, okay.
On the top. But, you know, in the early 2000s, yeah, man. I mean, being bald at that age, not great.
Probably not.
No, not great for him. He married, you know, super early, obviously.
Well, you have to.
You have to if you're going to go bald. But, yeah, that was the get. He looks roughly like that.
Oh man. Yeah. Which one's better? Obviously the one on the right, the bald is better. Although not everybody can pull it off, to be fair.
Yeah. Right? Shout out Shane Moyer. But,
who?
My buddy who was over there, he kind of looked like Johnny.
That's Johnny Sins.
That's exactly
right there.
He looked very
American
similar.
American hero.
Both American heroes, obviously.
I mean, one more than the other, obviously.
But with that, you make all this money and you're like, this is worth the risk.
Well, when I landed, so when you land in Baghdad, what they do is it's called a corkscrew maneuver. And they have us in this crappy little cargo plane. And if you land like a normal plane would, it's just like a tasty target for an RPG. So you go way up in the air and then you just corkscrew down. And the pilots didn't tell us like when they were actually going to land.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my computer on my lap. I'm playing like Minesweeper, you know. I still don't know how to play that game, but like I was trying.
Yeah.
And then my computer lifted off of my legs And I was like, dude, we're fucking going down. Like, this is it. Like, I'm not even going to have any cool stories, dude. Like, I'm just going to burn in right here.
Yeah.
So as soon as we hit, like, the trajectory to start, like, leveling off, I was like, oh, thank God. This is great. It's fine. I'm going to make my $500 today. It's going to be awesome. And then take all of our kit out of this plane, and they show up in soft skin vehicles, right? They're telling us, oh, we got all this armor and these Suburbans, and you guys are all going to be safe. And it's like a Peugeot, which is like a shitty
Toyota. Yeah.
It's
no bulletproof. Yeah.
No bulletproof anything, but they had like a metal plate. And the guy's like, if we get shot at, you can grab that plate and like put it up by your head. And I was like, what the fuck is that going to do? Like, it might stop a bullet, but the plate's going to go through my head. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
So, like, that first...
You just got to duct tape the plate to your head.
That's it.
It's easier.
Yeah. And that was your welcoming party?
Too? That was it. That was, like, the welcome to Baghdad party. And I was like, this is the craziest thing. So we get to the team house where I was telling you the Jordanians found love earlier and gave themselves the anal warts.
Sure.
And there's like beer in the fridge and there's food. And I was like, maybe this won't be so bad. So you know, after day one, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then as it progresses there, where did shit go wrong?
I mean, where do you want me to start?
All of it, to be honest with you, because I think you're the first guy we've had from actual Blackwater on the show. We've heard people rumble about it behind the scenes. We're like, oh, yeah. And you're like, were you? It's like saying Black Ops or something like that here. Whereas, oh, it was Black Ops, you wouldn't understand. And you're like, oh, it was Blackwater, you wouldn't get it. But you're the guy with the cool stories and shit, so.
Yeah, but like, when you're there to protect people, it's just literally no rules, right? It's get this guy from point A to point B. It could be a U.S. senator. It could be the, like, ambassador to Iraq. It could be some low-level State Department guy. And you got to go from point A to point B. And most of the Blackwater guys, not me, were like former special operations dudes, and you just owned the road. So I can tell you that an up-armored Suburban, it governors at 98 miles an hour, because that's how fast we would get those fuckers up to.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And if you've ever
that
been
might be
one
because
of
the weight, too. Not necessarily a governor, right?
Well, I just know that when the pedal was all the way down, you could hit 98. Yeah.
I mean, those floors are what? On a Suburban, I think they're 250 pounds each. On a Humvee, they're 400 pounds, but I think it's 250 for the up-armored Suburban, right?
God damn, dude.
So that's 1,000 extra pounds,
yeah,
right, that the fucking vehicle weighs. And that's just the doors. That's not including the glass and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the glass, and then some of those Suburbans were fucking cool, man. They were like James Bond. You could push a button, and it would do like an oil slick where it'd puff out like smoke, like a smoke screen. And they had a
so like that shit's real. It's like the Inspector Gadget shit is real, where they make certain ones of these to kind of get you out of certain situations.
Yeah, and they got like jammers. So we would go to like downtown Baghdad, and we'd go to this little marketplace, and we'd be parked in traffic, and we hit the jammer, and you'd see all the Iraqis like take their phone from their ear and look at it.
No
and
shit.
And then they dial it back, and then they'd call. We'd be like, watch this. And you hit the button, all the phones go down. Like, it's crazy, the shit that they had. We didn't need any of that shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool, though. Yeah, but it's cool. Yeah.
But, like, if you're trying to get from point A to point B as fast as you possibly can, all you do is control the road, which means if you're on the road and I'm on the road, you're not going to be on the road anymore. They teach you like pit maneuvers at Blackwater where you hit the back of the car, the car swerves off, or you just run into it because it won't move out of the way. And dude, I don't know what's going on with the people of Iraq, but like if you honk at them, they won't move. They don't care. And then we have blowhorns and we have sirens, and it's not like you can't see us coming. And people would just be like, and then we'd smash into them and they'd be like, like,
just, you know, I got to ask, right?
Which one?
You know, I got to ask the question.
I mean, hit me with it.
How many fucking people did you smoke on the road because they didn't get out of the goddamn way?
I mean, dude, it was all shoot and scoot, right? So if you hit somebody, it's not like you hung out and were like, hey, how's this guy? I hope that guy's doing okay. But we hit this dude and he hit his steering wheel. And my buddy, I didn't see it, but my buddy said that, like, it looked like chiclets on his fucking dashboard. Like, he hit so hard that his teeth popped out.
That happened. But to his point about beeping the horn and shit, or I guess in this case, it's an air horn, right? Sometimes, I think we moved to digital ones later on, but they're fucking retarded. Like, they would get into massive wrecks without us even being involved. Bob, you can probably find a video right now of Iraqi dudes, and it's probably a compilation series, riding on bikes or scooters, like motorcycles or scooters, slamming into Jersey barriers like they're not even there, and just flying head over fucking ass.
So did you ever figure it out, like, what's with it and why they don't pay attention?
So the rumor was that Saddam only let certain people drive when he was in power. So everybody went and pulled their old jalopy
out. Check this out right here.
Yeah, this is not abnormal.
This is not abnormal at all. Boom!
Come on,
like, what
dude.
Did you think what you were doing there exactly? Who was watching? There's two guys on the bike. Who was watching the fucking road?
That's Ahmed Knievel, right?
Yeah,
there,
Ahmed Knievel.
That makes sense. RIP, so by if the way. Yeah, if you hadn't driven before.
Yeah,
you would want to do it. I just
this
would
is
not
what it's
recommend
like.
That.
This Jesus is what it's
Christ.
Like to drive in Oakland with all the fobs, the fresh off the boat Asians over there.
Yeah,
like it's seriously like 50 to 70-year-old Asian women who have never driven a car in their lives, and all of a sudden you just take the written driving test and you're out. You're out on the road.
Good to go.
You're out on the road, buddy.
Good to go.
It's goddamn chaos out there all the time. People like driving down one-way streets the wrong way and making turns you're not allowed to make. It's awesome.
Smart. Pedestrian-wise, though,
there's
you ever have to smoke a pedestrian?
No. At least in the convoys I was in, we never hit a pedestrian. But like if traffic got too crazy, like some of the traffic circles, we just pop out of the Humvee and like take our rifles and just sit there and be like, move. Like, nobody spoke Arabic, but everybody speaks rifle. So when you point your rifle at somebody and you start going like this, they kind of get out of your way. Or we just drive on the other side of traffic. So you got oncoming traffic, and we're just honking at them, like, hop out of the way. But, I mean, there's videos on YouTube of, like, Blackwater. You could probably pull it up that shows, like, the convoys that we were running. And it's just
this is like a Blackwater
insane.
Convoy.
Yeah.
Because the real threat, for the most part, is getting jammed up and then getting caught in an ambush or a VBID, right? A vehicle-borne IED. Those are the two things you're really concerned about. Because we did the same thing. If we were driving up and down, especially an MSR.
Go down one more.
The wrong way.
Bob, go down one more video.
Go down the wrong way of traffic or fucking just drive over people. I mean, cars, right?
Yeah.
Push them out of the way and shit.
Yeah, I mean, this was normal driving, right? You pop your door open, you put your rifle out there, and you say, hey, please, will you move off to the side of the road? Pop.
Now, one would think, just looking at this footage here, it would have been easier just to roll down the window and have the gun out rather than open up the
Some of the windows
whole door.
Don't roll down because of the armor in the
right.
door.
Ah, yeah.
So this was our Humvee right here. So you're taking out, like, there's no traffic laws. So
you just
like,
shoot into the tires. Under the vehicles. You're not trying to hurt anybody, but, you know.
That one was a hoot. So, I mean, this was literally a team I was on right here.
Oh, it is?
The QRF team, yeah.
Get out of the way, out of the way.
Wow, they just smoked that fucking Suzuki.
I mean, he didn't shoot him. He drove into the back of him and busted his window out.
Yeah. But, I mean, he just drove right
so
into
So, we're going across traffic. This guy's like, oh, they're clearing the road for us. So, we hit him. You can see his bumper fly off on the back.
Yeah,
so there's his bumper.
What the fuck was he thinking?
Yeah. And then,
oh, these Americans are clearing the road for me.
Yeah, and you have to do this. This is IMSHI. This means stop, right?
Stop. You'll be able to go home.
Yeah. Holy shit, dude.
Those are the only words we ever learned in Arabic.
You guys are flying here.
Yeah, so the QRF kind of turned into an escort service, not the sexy ones, but like we would drive the convoys from point A to point B, come back and get another convoy. This was the Tunnel of Love right here where you have to go under a tunnel. This is one of the cars, dude. I was in the back here. That hurt so bad when we hit that thing. Oh, dude. That's the one. That's
those
the
medians,
one that I think.
Especially if you're in the turret. You just get rocked all over the fucking place.
Yeah, the dude in the turret, it was like this little Hispanic guy, dude. And he had like hairless legs, and I'd have to like grab his little hairless legs and be like, hang on, bro, hang on.
They also don't put their power lines at a reasonable height in Iraq.
Why not?
So I don't know why. I don't know. But, well, the buildings are that tall, right? They make them the height of the buildings, and the buildings are quite a bit shorter than they are here in the States.
Okay.
But I've been clotheslined by so many of those goddamn things. You're like, wait, and just getting choked out by power lines.
As I'm looking at this footage here, which is fucking wild to me, who is in these cars with you? So who are you guys protecting? Who are you guys driving from A to B?
So it really just depended. Like some days, we did the regime crimes liaison office. So those are the guys that collected evidence for Saddam Hussein in his trials, Chemical Ali. So we would have people from like the CIA, the FBI. They would take the Iraqis out. We'd collect evidence of like the gassing in Halabja and like the Kurds.
And they were based out of Anaconda, right? Out of CCCI?
Heck,
or maybe that was later.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The Central Criminal Court of Iraq. That's where all the judges were.
Yeah.
On this other side of the green zone right there.
Yeah, so we would drive the evidence up to JSS Justice. That's where Saddam got hanged. And then we would take that evidence over to the court. We would take people around. So it could be anybody from, like, I went to their stock exchange. Oh, dude, you should have seen this.
I'm sorry, the Iraqi stock exchange?
The Iraqi stock exchange.
What do they
how
ring?
Is that?
Yeah. They don't ring a bell. They just smack a fucking goat on the ass. That's how they open it up every morning.
It's like, it was chalkboards, like legit chalkboards, not even like your regular whiteboards now. It was chalkboards, and they would like go over there, and I don't know any Arabic, so it's just squiggle, 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 and then somebody would be like, and then they'd squiggle another thing.
So with a fucking insane, a piece of chalk and an eraser, you could basically crash the Iraqi economy.
And what you just described is old school gambling. That's what they used to do.
Yeah.
So they would wipe the odds on a chalkboard and then rewrite them real quick, and then as soon as the game was over, wipe it and do it, and that was their stock exchange.
That was their stock exchange. Yeah, that we were. I mean, when they say building it from the ground up, I mean we definitely put it as far down into the ground as we possibly could, and then we're like, oh, I guess we better spend the next 10 years building this thing back up.
Gross.
Yeah,
it was like the Marshall Plan, except for it didn't work.
Yeah, it just didn't work
because we had no intention. Well, I mean, the Marshall Plan was executed on people who already thought like us. On Western Europeans, right, for the most part. I guess Japan was a different scenario, but Germany and the rest of the European countries were not. They were more like us, so it was easy. This was like we were trying to like re-educate them on how the world works. That's not a thing.
Good luck.
Yeah.
That's going to take hundreds of years, probably.
Yeah. Well, you have to choose to do that. You can't force anybody to do that.
And they have to want to do it as well. Did you ever have any cool celebrities like Carmen Electra or somebody over there?
No, I wish, dude. Oh, are you kidding? No. So if you're a celebrity, the military always takes you around. They put you in a Black Hawk. They give you a flak vest and a helmet. Like, it's always the military because they're getting all these happy snaps with them. They didn't want, like, the contractors being there. You're like, yeah, they're just hanging out with these muscled up, steroided up dudes
who don't have any rules of engagement.
Yeah,
right.
Probably aren't the best face of the U.S. diplomacy here, but let's have them hang out with Carmen Electra. Like, it just wasn't going
to
happen.
You never know.
Dude, I did get to meet Charlie Daniels, which was
fucking off,
awesome.
Dude. Devil went down to Georgia.
So
did you guard the gold fiddle?
Well, dude,
24 karat gold fiddle.
No, I just went down there and played the skin flute. That's
you have to.
Yeah, Charlie Daniels, you're going
to
do it every day.
In tribute to him, obviously.
Yeah.
Hell of a live performance. Did you see him play live over there?
No, so I flew in from the green zone in those cool little helicopters that they just showed. And I drop into the airbase, and this little PFC, like E3, comes out, and he's like, "Hey, how's the hunting?" And I was like, what do you mean the hunting, dude? And he's like, yeah, like, how's the hunting? And I was like, dude, I just protect diplomats and shit. Like, I'm not really that cool. And he's like, yeah. And I'm all, dude, I was so hungover. And he's like, you need anything? And I was like, you have a Gatorade? And like scuttles in, grabs me a Gatorade, brings it back out. It's ice cold. It's amazing. And then he goes, hey, Charlie Daniels is right over there. So we got to take our pictures of Charlie Daniels. He had like these little Charlie Daniels dog tags that he gave us. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. So I don't know where he was going, but I would have followed him.
Probably to hell to fight the devil.
Sure. Well, he's going to Georgia.
Yeah.
That's where the devil was. So he had to go fight the devil.
Well, he already beat him in Georgia. Now it's Charlie Daniels in charge of hell now.
Great if it was.
R.I.P.
It'd be great if O.J., you know, when he passed the other day, just went down and it was Charlie Daniels saying, let's go. Grab a fiddle, brother.
Do you really think O.J.'s in hell? I mean, look, dude.
I don't know.
He led a pretty good life.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I think he's an Isotoner glove spokesman somewhere.
In heaven?
Yeah. He's.
I don't think you need him in hell. It's already, pretty warm down there.
So as this is all going down in Blackwater and you figure out that you can get away with murder, literally, how crazy does it really get?
It's fucking insane. Like, there's no such thing as GPS back in 2004 in Iraq. Even we had these Garmin GPSs. Remember those old triangle ones that you would like put in your car? We had those and they were like, just keep driving around and we'll pull the maps from it and then we'll try to figure out what Baghdad looks like. And even if you had a map of Baghdad, which we had a huge one, you never knew which routes were going to be like blocked by HESCO barriers or just random cars at any given time. So it was literally like 12 dudes with an important person get from point A to point B. This is your main route. This is your secondary route. This is your tertiary route. And there's no like big army support. So you can't just be like, hey, we're kind of in the poop here. Can you help us out?
Yeah.
We just never communicated with the military. So it was just you and the dudes. And it comes down to like this moral thing. Like, can you sleep at night if you like go and you blast that kid? Like, probably not. Would anybody know? They might. But either way, like, you want to be able to go home and sleep at night.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there was guys that you were with who didn't give a fuck, right?
There was, you have to put yourself in the paradigm of like Blackwater in 04. You had all these dudes that were like Army Rangers, SEALs, mm-hmm. that never saw anything in the 90s. Unless you were in Black Hawk Down, you didn't really see anything, right? So all these guys got out and they said, oh, we can go work for Blackwater or Dying Corps or Aegis or any one of these PMCs that are over there at the time. And I can get my war on. And a lot of, I mean, I wouldn't say the majority, but a lot of them were like, this is my chance of getting to war. I trained for it for 10 years before I got out as a Navy SEAL. I'm going back over and I'm going to make a shit ton of money in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude, there were some crazy motherfuckers over there. But I think that's like in any organization. You're going to have those guys where like most are probably going to do the right thing. And then there's the one guy that's like, you know what we should do? We should eat this child. And you're like, whoa, let's not eat the kid. Let's just.
Did you ask him why? Let him make his case.
Why he should eat the child?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say.
Did he have a reason?
He didn't say I'm going to eat the child. He said let. So at least he's sharing.
Yeah. I think he's inviting everybody else in.
No, I think he just wanted us all to get in trouble at the same time.
Oh, word.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. In case one of you guys flipped.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it's like, hey, well, you were all doing
you
it.
You got to eat some of this kid. Otherwise, I don't know you're cool, man.
Yeah, man. Fuck you, traitor.
I saw you eat the flank steak.
Yeah.
Where is the flank on a human being?
I don't know. But when I first got there, the elections were happening, and we were driving around these diplomats with news crews, right? So they could all go and they could take pictures of the free Iraq, and everybody's got a blue finger, right? So after you vote, dip your finger in blue ink so you can't vote again. It's really foolproof. We should do this in the U.S.
We don't.
And then we wouldn't have to worry about like all the ballot stuffing.
You don't need an ID over here, and Maricopa County seems to have it locked in. They'll get you the results 3 months later.
I mean, that's my hood. I'm sure.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up, brother. We were just there. So, Morgan, you've been on podcasts. You know, we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinkinbros. 50% off everything in the entire store. That is mattresses, pillows, sheets, adjustable bases, weighted blankets, mattresses for RVs. All of it's 50% off. All of it's made in the good old US of A. Venus Williams got a new line of mattresses out as well with those guys. They're everywhere. I feel like GhostBed is everywhere. I'm seeing them in some of the big boy retailers as well. However, you can't scream at the cashier, I need 50% off by saying drinking bros. Just give me drinking bros. Nope. Got to check that in. Got to check that in online and type it in at the end. And then while you're there, at the old checkout over there, there's a 3-year pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit. You check that box. Good to go. Good to go. 3 years. Stretch it out over 3 years. 50% off everything in the entire store. Fill up the cart as high as it'll go. Pop in the promo code Drinking Bros. And then stretch it out over 3 years if you want to. Today's the day you buy a brand new bedroom set over at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. Finest mattresses in the land. Next up, we got firstform.com/drinking bros. Talking about those microfactors, dog. Big fan of these things. It's not just a multivitamin. It's a convenient daily packet with 6 products included in it that provides you what you need on a daily basis to be healthy. Because let's face it, we don't eat the way we need to in order to fulfill the demands of our body without getting the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients in us consistently. We're going to struggle to reach any type of health or fitness goal, whether that's weight loss, putting on muscle, getting lean, or just overall being healthy. What's in them? What's in these beautiful little packets? Well, you got the antioxidants, you got the multivitamins, the probiotics, the CoQ10s. Help with the cardiovascular function. You got the EFAs, those essential fatty acids, and the fruits and veggies. These are all the things you need to get you through the day in real life. All right. Now, if you're looking to go deeper, peruse their entire website over there. First Form is one of the best supplement companies in the world, in my opinion. Check out that liver detox, by the way. If you're going fucking hard, dude, that shit's amazing. That'll get you up and at 'em the next day. But these multivitamins are something that you should have every single day. Comes in a box. Boom, there's 30 of them. As soon as the month is over, get another box. You're good to go. It takes the guesswork out of it. You don't have to pull out jars out of the medicine cabinet and line them up. They do the work for you. Head on over to firstform.com/drinkingbros today. You're going to get free shipping on orders over $75 when you use the link. Highly recommend their energy drinks as well. Big, big fan of those. Every time they're in the office, they're gone in like fucking 48 hours. Love their energy drinks and their protein sticks as well. Get the breakfast sausages, dog. Go to firstform.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, we got twc.health/drinkingbros. Promo code drinkingbros for 15% off all purchases. Are you prepared for the unexpected? Probably not. In a world where chaos seems to lurk around every corner, being prepared is no longer a choice, it's a necessity. It's where the wellness company comes in. Imagine having the peace of mind that you're equipped to handle any medical crisis, from tick bites to the latest pandemic. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is your lifeline. Packed with essential medications like ivermectin, emergency biotics, antivirals, and more, this kit is your ultimate preparedness solution. The Wellness Company's team of renowned medical professionals like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Drew Penske, Dr. James Thorpe, and a ton of other truth-seeking doctors have designed a kit that sets the gold standard for safety and prevention. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/drinkingbros and use the promo code drinkingbros for an exclusive 15% off discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow at twc.health/drinkingbros. Promo code drinkingbros for 15% off. Had to sneak that one in there. Last but not least, hardafseltzer.com, baby. We're now in over 100 HEBs in the state of Texas, and our good friend Ryan Mills is trying to stock up at a store near you. Here's the new ones. The HEB in Rockport, Texas, near Corpus Christi. Hard AF Seltzer there. The Kroger at 1035 North Shepherd in Houston, Texas, is all stocked up there. The Proletariat at 2221 Market Street in Galveston, Texas, good to go there. And the brand new HEB in Alliance in Fort Worth, Texas, at 3451 Heritage Trace Parkway. They're all stocked up as well, along with every single Total Wines in the state of Texas. Finally starting to expand here, and we're super, super grateful. We're also live in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Outer Banks in North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, and Florida as well. Every single Total Wines throughout the Southeast, all the Piggly Wigglies in Alabama. And you know we're in that Total Wine in Wilmington, North Carolina, along with some of your favorite bars and restaurants. Colleges, Tuscaloosa, we're Ram-a-Jam outside the stadium. Corks and Tops in Tuscaloosa is serving us down there. Tiger Liquors down in Auburn. Ohio State's all stocked up on campus at that 14-0 Liquors, a.k.a. the Sousy Markets. Standard Hall's got us if you're raging there. Short North, Pint House, great food, great place to have some booze. Hard AF Seltzer served there. Urban Myers Pint House out there in Dublin has got you rocking there. And then there's just some fun joints, too. Some of our listeners, too. Smoky Mountain Axe House. Knoxville, Tennessee, all stocked up. Frugal McDougal's down there in Nashville has got you covered. Slaint's out there in Wilmington, North Carolina's got that. That bar's all stocked up as well. And a ton of other fun locations. Go to hardafseltzer.com, enter your city or zip, and it'll bring you to the closest location nearest you. That's bar, restaurants, grocery store, no matter what you want there. If we're not in one of your states currently or in the surrounding states, we still ship right to your house at heartafseltzer.com. Buy a 12-pack. Support us and support the show.
So, like, we're driving around, and this little kid, maybe 7, 8 years old, like, is waving at us, and he's so happy. And I'd say, like, 4 months later is when you started having the Shias that were doing the kill squads going through Iraq, and it got nasty in 04. Like, it just got so nasty because the Shias were pissed off because Saddam Hussein was a Sunni, and he just, like, iron-fisted everybody.
And 83% of the country is Shia.
Yeah.
Saddam's Sunni, and he dominated that place for, what, 25, 30 years or so.
So they're like, it's time for retribution. And we're driving down the road maybe 4 or 5 months later, and this kid starts going, like, he's shooting at us with a shotgun. I was like, wow, this is turning bad fast. Mm. Like, this is not that good.
No.
Yeah.
And then how quickly did it ramp up to where you were like, this is fucking dangerous?
04 and 05 was, like... Yeah. Fucked.
So I would say, like, the second day I was there, the green zone's got a river right on it. So on the other side of the river, they would drive these trucks. They would lob mortars and rockets at us and then drive off. So every morning, that was kind of like your wake-up call. So we're sitting in this big circus tent. We don't even have rooms yet. And, like, one rocket hits, and, like, everybody kind of sits up and looks at each other. But nobody runs because you don't want to be the pussy, right? You don't want to be the dude that's like, oh, I'm going to run out the door. This is scary. So... Yeah. The next one hits, it's a little bit closer, and everybody's like, and then the third one hits, and it's close enough to, like, shake your guts in, like, the tent and everything else. Uh-huh. One guy stands up, dude, runs out to, like, the barriers so he doesn't die. He had a lot to live for, we think. We have no idea.
You didn't ask him later?
No, but everybody just went after him, because once you break the seal, it's like, when you drink it, you break the seal. Yeah. Like, the first pussy out, like, everybody else has carte blanche.
But we, because then you have the pussy, and you're like, well, fuck you. We did this because of you.
Yeah.
You
caused this.
Yeah. I think the guy had a lot of, it says he had a lot of tickets on his Dave and Buster's card.
Well, so he had a lot to live for.
Yeah, sure did.
Anytime,
a lot of great items there.
Anytime, like, a new officer showed up, they would be the jumpy one, right? So mortars land, like, when, and we were 800 meters from Sadr City, so we got mortared 350 days out of the 400 we were there, I think, something like that. Jared knows the actual number. I can't remember what it is, but every time a new lieutenant would show up, they would dive fucking head over their hands, and we would make fun of them, like, that's not a normal thing to do when you hear fucking rockets and shit coming at you. We're like, oh, you fucking queer, what are you doing? And then we would go on to say that various clothing that we were wearing had more time in combat than them. It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah,
it's like the lowest level of hazing possible. But yeah, once the one dummy does that, I think everybody secretly was waiting on the one guy.
Yeah, you have to
Take cover, so you could all take cover without being the bitch,
of course,
right?
Yeah. So at a certain point, like, you know, obviously this is day two for you. Was there a thought where you're, you know, young dude, that you're probably like, man, I'm not going to survive this?
Yeah, no, that was like every morning when I woke up. Like, so the first time a mortar hits, you're like, holy shit, what's going on? And then by, I would say, the first 3 weeks, and you keep getting mortared, like, you just grab your flak vest if you want and roll over. And then after that, it's like, dude, if it's going to hit me, it's going to hit me. Like,
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. So I think you just come to the slow realization of, like, it's all luck. It's all chance at this point, right? If an IED blows up while we're driving, they weren't really aiming for me. It's just kind of, I was just in a bad place at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people personalize it. Like, oh, they were shooting mortars at me. Like they were like, hey, Morgan's probably over there in that tent. I think we can get Morgan. Like, dude, they couldn't care less. They're just trying for something or somebody and hoping. So
that's an interesting way to look at it, because you're right. It's set up wherever it is, and they don't give a fuck who it is. It's not like they know you personally.
Well,
and if it is you, then fuck you. But
yeah,
it's probably the group as a whole, right? Like, if I can bring down somebody from Blackwater, great. If it's somebody else, well, you know, tough shit. It was just a bad day.
Well, there's all these. There was these rumors, like, okay, the terrorists are targeting Blackwater employees, so we all have to have nicknames. And they're like, I'm going to call myself Chainsaw, and I'm going to call myself Rocky.
You should have gone.
I'm like, dude,
I like Chainsaw.
No, you should have gone with Drildo.
Drildo is sweet, dude. We've got one back then.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
We've got a Drildo.
It's a butt Drildo, too.
It's a butt Drildo, old school, 1936, I believe.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful Drildo. We'll let you sniff it afterwards.
They don't make them like that anymore. That's kind of a shame.
It's America right now. We don't do anything like we used to.
We don't smoke anymore.
We need to make it great again.
I think we need to bring
out November.
We need to bring back smoking. We need to bring back drinking and driving.
Six
Not
inside.
Drunk driving, but drinking and driving.
Six inside. Drinking and driving still goes on in Texas.
Yeah.
The dirty secret is those 24 ounces. That's why.
Is it
45% of beer sales are those tall boys?
Ooh.
And they go right in the fucking dead serious, right in the center cup holder, and that's
so. Well, like when you're at a stop sign here, and or like a stop.
Well,
light,
truck drivers, and for
like,
example,
you like chug it, and the guy next to you like raises his at the same time. You have like a moment.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's an off duty
nice moment.
He's an off duty cop.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and he's drinking too. Yeah. So you're good there. Now, as this progresses, you start to get used to it. You start to get used to some of the power you have.
Yeah.
It's probably like the Stanford experiment.
Oh, dude, like, you're treated like a god by the military people. Because they don't know that I'm not, like, cool. I'm just an Air Force dude that lucked out. They knew the right people at the right time to get into Blackwater. So they treat you like you're a badass. You could walk around with your weapon always hot, right? You could always have a round in the chamber if you want, because we have, like, this little badge. And my badge looks like... Like, I had just gotten in, and it was so hot and sweaty. Like, I think my eyeballs were sweating. It was that hot. And they took my picture. And this is your death picture, right? Like when you die, they're going to show this picture at the State Department funeral that they give you where they don't give a fuck.
What was yours? Can you recreate it for the camera?
And I can probably find a picture of it. But, no, I mean,
well,
it was
just
like
give
this.
Me the look. Yeah, go ahead. Camera on him, please. There you go. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, not quite. I mean, I didn't have this in front of me, but
it's almost like Doofy from
Not Another Teen Movie.
No,
or Scary Movie.
Scary Movie. One more time on that face, camera on him. Yeah, that's a Doofy face right there. Yeah.
I said no disturbing me when I'm cleaning my room.
Yeah,
that's when he was fucking the vacuum cleaner.
Very similar.
So. You get there, you get your picture taken, and you think, well, I guess I'm gonna die here, or I'm just gonna make enough money to go home, and then I don't ever have to work again. You know, I'm a white trash kid from Arizona.
But were you really doing that, or were you using all that money to buy a Ford Raptor?
Yeah, stop.
No, it wasn't a Ford Raptor. It was a fucking Land Rover.
It was a Land Rover.
Oh yeah, what was it back in the day?
Yeah, it was a Land Rover. Yeah.
Land Rover.
Yeah. It depends on what service you're in. If you're Army or Marine, usually it's like it depends on car, or truck as well, right? So it used to be Raptor, or for the Navy SEALs, all love Land Rovers for some reason. I don't know why.
No shit. So
because
that what you
it's an aquatic vehicle. What do they say?
Because it's pretentious and British.
Oh, yeah. I guess that might be it.
They're nice, though. I like them. What'd you buy?
I had the Disco, like the 2004 Land Rover Discovery.
There you go.
I mean, dude, it was nice, but it would like leak oil all the time.
Yeah.
It was the crappiest vehicle.
Yeah, but that's a good thing, though, because if it's not leaking oil, you know it's out of oil. Yeah. That's how you can tell, right?
So at least there was oil in the vehicle.
Yeah.
And then how long did you end up staying in?
Dude, I did it for like 18 months and started in Baghdad, went to Al-Hilla. That's the picture that's up right there. So like everything from like growing up in the church is in Iraq. Like that's like the Tower of Babel, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Like that's all down there in Al-Hilla.
Mm-hmm.
Up north, I went up to Kirkuk. They had like where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace, which is just a place where there's so much oil that the natural gas comes off of the ground and you can light it on fire. And that's how they would like dry their clothes and shit back then.
Holy shit.
You remember the oil fields being on fire back
in
the day, right?
Yeah.
Like it's...
It was one of the most famous images they showed on the news.
There's a certain concentration of that where it pushes all the natural gas up to the surface, basically.
Yeah. Wow. Pop this pick up and zoom in on it, Bob.
Yeah, let's look at those MSRs.
Because you look totally different now.
OPSEC.
What year was this?
This had to be late 04. Yeah, because it was cold, I remember. I was thinking, man.
Is that Paraclete?
There was a big sign at like the gates of Babylon, and that's what I'm standing in front of.
Okay, so no ditty on this one, but you do look like a badass here. Like, I get it. I get the hype of it.
What do you mean no ditty?
It's our version of No Homo. It's the new.
Oh, I see.
So we're not doing No Homo anymore.
Bob?
Now it's No Diddy. We're not doing that anymore. So yeah. God damn it, dude. Nope.
That's the audio allegedly.
He was Diddy. Bob. You were late on it this time. You were late on it. Okay.
Doesn't count. Is that Justin Bieber? Is that him in the background?
Well,
maybe it could be.
That is suspected right now, but we don't have any audio
TBD.
of it. So. TBD, but again, no Diddy. You look cool in that. I get it. If I saw you out there and I was, you know, an E3 or whatever, I would be like, oh, shit. Yeah, this guy looks like he fucked shit up back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. No, and the steroids helped.
Was that on purpose?
Well, it's on purpose for your own mind, right? Like, a bullet doesn't care how buff I am or if I look, you know, scary.
It doesn't, but the people do, and that's what I always wonder too.
Are you doing roids?
Are you growing the beard and being like, man, I've seen everything. Fuck everyone.
No, you're doing it because everybody else is doing it, and everybody wants to look equally cool.
Got it. So is everybody there just kind of, hey, dude, sharing needles and shit like that? And
we only shared needles for heroin, like for steroids. Oh, right. Yeah,
very clean on steroids. Heroin, same needle.
You could get anything. You could go out to the marketplace within the green zone and go get steroids. You get
Winstrol.
Yeah, you could get whatever you wanted. So some of them would just go out and buy it.
It was all from Germany too, if I recall correctly.
So you had the good shit.
There was some fucking dude. These two brothers that owned a candy store down the street from us, candy factory, right? Uh-huh. We went in, somebody told us it was a bomb-making facility, and we had ISR flying around, like, there's nobody coming in and out of this place. So we just drove down there one day, went into the building, and it was just two dudes that were steroided out of their fucking mind. They had shut the candy factory down. They just had, like, a gem in there. It's just two brothers.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, he was like, hey, you mister, you want to... He's trying to sell me shit. I'm, like, looking at it, I'm like, this is a German flag on the side of this. Where are you getting this? They don't give a fuck over there.
I like it, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was good steroids. But they got into that oil stuff, too. What is that oil that you inject?
Oh, yeah,
is it
fuck,
not
dude.
Retinol? What is it called?
I don't remember the name of it. I never got to
it's
do
like
the cool
fake
shit
muscles.
Like that. But I understand it.
I think we've actually got a video of some of it, Bob, if you want to put that up on the screen right quick.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, no, God, this is where some dude shoved a giant cucumber up his ass.
This
My
is
bad.
Called What Goes Up Doesn't come down.
Man.
So this guy shoved a giant cucumber up his ass, and now they're having to remove it surgically.
Yeah, didn't need to see that at all.
Look how big it is. Look how big it is.
Yeah.
Look how big it is. Look how big it is.
Didn't need to see that.
Big as hell. So
he should have put a dollar bill next to that to show, because I don't know how long that instrument is. But you put a dollar bill there.
To see what that's against.
A dollar bill is exactly 6 inches. Supposed to be, anyways.
So you end up there for 18 months.
Well, I'm sorry. Could you?
Nope.
Can you stop?
I don't think the audience can see it.
No, they can't. No. Oh. No, they don't need to. No. I just want you to describe it for them. Those are intestines.
All good. It's a what appears to be a 14-inch cucumber being removed from a man's asshole.
So here's the don't put anything up your ass that doesn't have a handle on it.
I agree.
Right. I think that's a safe
or
bet.
Or one of those pull tabs that you can.
Yeah, but what if it comes off? I don't trust that either. Because you're going into a fucking wet hole.
Sure are.
I don't know. I think you have to have like a rope
because, to pull that
yeah,
out.
Because even if you've got
chain.
The handle could go in too if it's the same circumference.
Chain would probably
yeah,
be
if you got
the
like
best.
A, it'd be like starting a lawnmower, right? Like, honey, I fell on this thing.
A bike chain is small enough that you would trust.
Yeah, I would say so.
Sturdy enough.
You also don't want to prolapse your butt, right? Because either you're going to have to go to the hospital with that too, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to avoid the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
When you put stuff in your butt. That's what I'm told.
Yeah. Now back to your real life here.
Are you saying that's not me?
It could be. We'll get to it. After 18 months, what makes you want to get out of there?
Oh, I got fired. Yeah. Yeah.
Over what?
Well, I got fired twice. The first time, as you saw in the video, when we hit a car, it's a bongo truck. These things are made out of like kryptonite. Mm. Like Superman is going to hit this thing.
It's like a 1950s Buick.
Superman's going to die hitting that thing.
So is the Humvee, but we hit it so hard that it bent the frame on the Humvee.
Oh, shit.
And we had all this up armor that we had on the Humvee. Because what you do, we had alcohol. We go over to like KBR or Army bases and say, hey, I got a bottle of Jack. Do you guys have any up armor? So up armor is the stuff you put on the armor that you already have on your Humvee. Just gives you like an extra bit of armor.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went over there and I started taking the up armor off because we were supposed to get a new Humvee. And KBR got all mad and was like, you're stealing our stuff. And I was like, no. And they're like, well, you're using our tools. And I was like, I am using our tools. And I was like, I was a dick. I mean, you saw the picture of me. I looked like an asshole.
You do look like an asshole.
So,
old you.
Yeah.
Not current you. Old
well,
you does.
Yeah.
It.
I mean, that's debatable.
Yeah.
But they fired me for that.
Okay.
Yeah, they said, you guys are not at fault. That's not KBR stuff, but KBR's still mad, so you're fired. So in Blackwater fashion, when you get fired, they just move you to a new site. Because nobody knows who the heck Morgan is, right? Nobody gives a crap. The State Department, I don't know, who was it? Colin Powell at the time was not like, oh, Morgan got fired.
No, he was too busy lying in front of the UN about fucking anthrax.
Well.
He didn't have time to keep track of you.
No, and it makes sense because you're right. Just thinking about what would be over there, you're like, hey, just move into another unit. Nobody's going to fucking know.
Yeah.
It's not like you're trading Allen Iverson to another team where you're like, well, the city's going to be pissed.
He does have a pretty good Allen crossover, Iverson. Though.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But not Hall of Fame worthy. Not statue worthy.
No. More of like a Grayson Allen crossover for you. But
I'm like the Nurchik or whatever the heck that guy's name is.
White.
Yeah,
the guy named is White, too. Yeah, I wasn't going to give you a black guy. Yeah,
oh, no. I mean, Grayson Allen, though, he's got skills. Like 41% from threes this year. Holy
great three-point shot.
Having a great season.
Just signed a $70 million extension. Yeah. Good for him. So you've fired there, and then you get moved to another unit, and then how did you get fired the next time?
Well, after I spent, I think, 7 months up in Kirkuk, I got wasted. And then I went into the U.S. Embassy up there, and I was looking in the mirror. Apparently, this is allegedly, because I don't remember any of this, I was blacked out, and I beat the shit out of the bathroom in the U.S. Embassy. So, you know.
No, it's a victimless crime.
Well, I wanted to think it was like... like on Walk Hard, where he like grabs all the sinks and like flings them off, and like water goes everywhere. It probably wasn't even that cool. I probably just broke the mirror, and then they fired me again for that. But
I'm sorry. Are you just stealing valor here
from Walk Hard?
No,
from Martin
now.
Sheen.
Yeah.
Is this
what
Charlie's out in the jungle getting that, stronger dude. While I'm here?
Well, I'm sure you watched this before heading over there
every day. Like it was on repeat.
Look at that.
Charlie Sheen on opium in a fucking random hotel in Vietnam is pretty dope.
Yeah, this is a great scene, by the way.
It happened in between the skips there, bud. He punches out the mirror.
Yeah, he punches out the mirror in between there.
There you go.
So was that what you did? You punched a mirror?
Yeah, I punched a mirror. I don't remember doing it, but the next day I pulled some shards of the mirror out of my knuckles.
Oh, so you did?
I'm pretty sure it was me. Could have been somebody else. Could have been planted. I have no idea. that was like... that was exactly how I looked, except I was naked. Like, let's be honest here. There was no.
Were you really buck naked?
No, I wasn't.
Because that definitely would have been part of it. All right, man, you can't do this shit naked. We don't care if you punch a mirror like Martin Sheen. Just don't do it buck naked in front of everybody.
But the shards, I would have been picking shards out of places I wouldn't have wanted to. So
probably not. And so second firing, are you truly gone at this point? And do they just ship you back home?
Well, I was like right at the end of my contract. So I went home and I was like, I'm probably done with this stuff. But then it just always happens where like somebody calls you up and says, hey, do you want to come over and do this? Or do you want to come over and do that? And I got this like Labrador Retriever when I got home and I just like couldn't go back. So
Because of the dog,
you know. That
but how
dog,
did you financially support the dog?
Well, I lived off of my savings. And then I hooked on the side.
Okay.
Yeah, I made like $7 a day. So, but that's all we needed for dog food, and I just ate it with her. Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Did you ever go back at all to contracting or anything else after that, or were you done for good?
I was done. I joined the Army ROTC at that point because I was going to college. I was like, this is what normal people do. They go to college, right? And I was like, I'm going to get a really good degree, like criminal justice, because that's really marketable outside. But I don't want to be a cop, so... Joined the ROTC, I was going to go fly helicopters, and the Army's like, that's a 7.5-year contract to fly helicopters, and I was like, I don't want to be in the Army that bad, so I was an intel guy. I was an intel guy for the Army for about 3.5 years on active duty. Went back to Iraq, got stationed at the exact same place where we were running for Blackwater, up at JSS Justice.
No fucking way.
Yeah, it was absolutely awful.
So when you saw, did you see any of the old guys that you used to work with?
No, thank God. That would have been humbling.
I bet, dude. Where they were like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
I'm like sitting there as like a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, being like, yeah, no, I'm making a solid 80,000 now, guys. I feel really good about myself.
That would have been wild.
Yeah, well, it was humbling that I was sitting there making so much less money at the exact same spot that I was hanging out at. And we couldn't have beer, so.
Did you regret it?
No, not even a little bit. Like, a lot of guys got caught in that loop where you make all your money and then you come home and you buy, I don't know, a Land Rover or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they go back for 6 months and then they come back and there's a Harley and there's a Cadillac and then they bought a house. And it's like they have to keep going back. I had saved up enough money at that point, and I was like, look, it's grown up time, right? Like, and I was an asshole. Like every relationship that I had, family, friends. Like, I was just such a dick at that point. I was like, I just can't be a dick for the rest of my life. So
yeah, it makes sense. Because my fraternity brother that I was telling you about earlier, it got to a certain point for him where he was like, all right, if I stash enough away from my kids' college and I reach X amount of dollars, then I'm getting the fuck out of here and I'm all done. The problem is you got to stay alive for that many years or whatever you're doing.
Well, your friend is smarter than me. This is what I tell people if they want a contract. Set a goal. I'm going to pay off my house. I'm going to pay for college. I'm going to do something and then have a reason to get out.
That's what he did. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Because if you don't have a reason to get out, you just stay in forever.
Well, with you, you got a dog, but you don't have a wife or kids.
I did have a wife.
What happened to her?
Well, you have to get rid of the first one to find the one you actually like. So my current wife is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm glad you didn't say that when my wife was here.
Yeah, way married, way above my head now. But yeah, we're like 24.
You don't ever introduce Jesse as your first wife?
No, I don't.
To people?
Yeah. I waited long enough where I was positive, where I was like, all right, cool. I'm not doing this again. This is it. This is the last one.
That sounds like you're settling. Is she
listening? No, it's not at all.
No, I'm just, I'm just trying to get you in trouble.
She's amazing. No, like I'm great, but that was that was the choice that I made personally, where I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, this is the person. Whatever happens, you know, fights all the other stuff, we'll figure it the fuck out, and then get through it, and hopefully you married for the right reasons and everything else. What was the first marriage over? Was that more or less like? I want somebody here because I'm lonely overseas and I've got somebody to talk to.
I mean, I could make 1,000 excuses why it happened. I was 24 years old, making a ton of money, hopped up on
steroids.
You got
married at 24?
Yeah. I was all emotional when I came home on steroids because like when that estrogen kicks in, you're like, I've never been more in love. So when I got home, like within a year, it was kind of Splitsville, but I still had the dog. And I couldn't keep going overseas with the dog. I didn't know who to give the dog to, and I loved her to death.
Yeah.
So I was like, I mean, as stupid as it sounds, like, it was literally me and this dog. Like, I'm crying. The dog's, like, trying to get pet. And I'm like, oh, she loves me. Really, she just probably wanted a treat. But
yeah, that's
at the end
was.
Of the day.
It could have been anybody else. It didn't have to be you. Where's the girls come in this, in your book title, Guns, Girls, and Greed?
So Dan and I were talking about this. You have so much downtime. When you are in a combat zone, like it's not like Jason Bourne, right? Like you're not getting into a fight every 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and you just start talking about stuff. In contractors, special operations guys love hookers. I heard so many amazing hooker stories. There's no such thing. Like you never hear good ones. You hear the bad ones that you think are hilarious, but like that's all you talk about, right?
Well, yeah.
You talk about the guns you're using, the money you're making, and the girls, either the one back at home or the one you're going to like stop by in Amsterdam and have, or the one you're going to have in Amsterdam before you find the one back at home.
Mm-hmm.
And poop. We talk a lot about poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. With the prostitutes, were they Iraqi or from some other place?
No. So you could, I mean, it was hard to find a prostitute in Iraq, I would assume. I have no idea. I'm not a whore buyer. It's just never been my gig.
You never bought a whore?
I never bought a whore. It's okay. Just has not been my, you know.
You do look like a whore buyer. No offense.
Well.
I mean, especially old you. Like, show that picture of old him again. That's a whore buyer right
there.
Yeah. I mean, that's, look at that guy.
Dude, we stopped.
That is a fucking whore buyer.
Well, he might be a seller, actually.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
But he obviously tests the merch before it goes out to Gen Pop.
So we stopped in Amsterdam. I'm on the way home, and the guy that I'm with is like, let's go to the red light district. And I was like, all right, dude, the red light district is just something to see. Whether or not you buy a whore or not, it's just something to see. Like women standing there, window, like dancing in bikinis and stuff. And we're walking, and he just like stops dead in his tracks. And he looks over, and there's this girl in like a white bikini. And the only thing I know about buying whores is you never buy the hottest whore because they have an attitude. This is what I learned with all these guys.
Sure.
In Blackwater. But he stops. He's going to bang the hottest whore. I go to a strip club, and it's Amsterdam. So, like, the dollars are coins. Like, do you just, like, flick coins at the strippers? I have no idea what to do. So I have a beer, and I'm waiting for him. And it's, like, maybe 10 minutes later, I'm like, something went wrong. I got to hear the story.
Uh-huh.
So this is what happened, is he went in there and was like, all right. And he's like, so she puts a condom on, and she's blowing me. And I'm like, okay, now it's time. So I lay her down. Take off her bottoms, but she doesn't take her top off. And I'm like, take off your top. And she's like, that's 10 more euros. Like, he's doing the accent at this point. It's spectacular. Yeah. And I was like, all right. And he's like, fuck this whore. I'm not paying you 10 more euros. So he's like, I keep going. And like, she's like, he's like, all right, I'm going to flip her over and I'm going to do her doggy style. And he tries to do that. She's like, that's 10 more euros.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like, I'm paying you. You're the whore. And she says, I'm no whore. And he's like, no, I'm paying you for sex. Like, I'm inside of you right now and paying you for this. Like, you are the definition of a whore. She's like, I'm no whore. I'll push that button. Apparently, there's buttons in these rooms where they can push it and security comes in and kicks out the John.
Oh, like a panic room type thing. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
And he's got like a Rolex watch, of course, because special operations dudes, along with the vehicles they drive, very, very specialized in which watches they have based on what they do. So she's like, I'll have them come in and they'll take. I don't know what accent I have right now. Is that Asian?
I'm going with it. I don't know. It's great either way. Yeah. It's great either way for this story.
I come in, they'll take your watch. And he's like, fuck this. And he's like, I stood up, I took the condom off and I threw it in her face and I called her a whore. And I was like, that is the best hooker story I've ever heard in my life, dude. This is amazing. So we have a couple of beers and then we're walking around and he's wasted and he bumps into like this Jamaican guy. Like, didn't see him in the alley. Uh-huh. And like three other Jamaican guys come out of the alley and just start beating the living shit out of us, which is great. And he's a Navy SEAL. So he's like, I got this guy by the arm and I'm going to Navy SEAL break his arm in half. And then this other guy just socks me in the face. Sorry, I moved away. But socks me in the face. And I look at him and his eye is already swollen like Rocky. Like,
cut me, Mick.
Like within 30 seconds of being hit, it's already like swollen shut like this. And I just can't stop laughing. He's like, stop laughing, dude. Like, what happened to you? And I was like, I lost my John Deere hat. And he's like, let's go get it. I'm like, I'm not going back over there. That's where those dudes are. So the next day, we ended up flying into Jordan and going to Petra. And he's like, every picture of him has like his glasses on because his eye was so fucked up. And I was like, this is a fitting story for buying hookers in Amsterdam. Like, it couldn't have gone well. There's just no way. But you can get hookers in Jordan. You can get them in Amsterdam. I mean, you can get them in Uzbekistan.
How are they in Uzbekistan and Jordan? Good.
They're imports. They're imports.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're all sex trafficked.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Eastern European women, for the most part.
I didn't need to hear the last part. You know, you could have let us live in a world where they were just working to help their families.
No.
And they were all sex traffic workers.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mostly by the Tate brothers, I believe.
Oh, Andrew Tate? Yeah.
And his gay little brother.
Allegedly. he's arrested again for it, so we'll see.
He's still tweeting, though. Jail.
Is he really?
He must have his phone with him because he's talking shit.
No shit.
He's like, oh, dude. He tweeted something so retarded yesterday. It was like, and I don't follow anything because he's the dumbest person on earth, but it was something like, oh, you guys are having all these white dudes are upset that they're getting replaced, but they're not out there having kids. I heard some dude talking about how he's got 5 kids. Like, what, every year? Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, you're a fucking predator sex trafficker, and you look like a snake. He has no chin.
People love him, dude. I don't know why.
People, all the incel dudes on the internet love him.
Love him. Absolutely love him.
Like, it's funny how all he talks about is going out there and getting laid as a dude, but all the people that follow him have never been laid.
Yeah, never,
ever.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So once you're all done with that and everything else, how do you assimilate back into real life?
You don't. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Are you just bored?
You're bored, but you're also like on high alert for everything. Everything is like high alert, and you go from, like, I went from 0 to 100. Like, something could happen and I'd be fine, and then the next thing you know, it's like I'm getting ready to fight somebody. Like, I mean, this is pretty embarrassing, but there was like a parking guard at the community college I was in, and he wrote me a ticket for not stopping at the stop sign. Look, dude, I stopped. Like, let's be honest here. Just between us, totally stopped.
Did you stop? It wasn't a rolling stop?
I stopped. That was my story.
Okay.
So I walked out, and I see this ticket, and he's standing by the car, and I'm literally like screaming at this kid, trying to get into his face to fight this guy. And he's like 19 years old at the community college. Guarantee he goes there. He's a student.
Yeah.
This is his part-time job. And I'm like, you know, 210 pounds and just vicious looking, and I'm like screaming in his face. So they called the cops, and they pulled me out of class like the next day. But
no shit.
Yeah. It was like... I'm pretty embarrassed. I'm sorry. Like, I was just a dick, dude. Like,
And the reason I ask is, like, I'll take Dan, for example. I think the reason why Dan is the way he is because after doing all the cool shit over there, you come back and nothing's really that exciting. Really matter what it is.
What way am I?
You've got to put the camera on him. This face is your face everywhere we go. Doesn't matter if we're at the Masters, the World Series, the biggest, whatever the biggest event we go to on the planet, that's it, and that's it only. The only time I ever see you smile or, like, relieved is when we're in a stadium of, like, 110,000 people, this is true, and they all lose at the last second, and every life, like, all the souls get sucked out of their bodies. It's like Green Mile. It goes into him. It's like the reverse shake my hair balls. Like, all the bees are coming out, but they're going inside of Dan here, and that's the only way I see you excited. And that's the only way that I think you can probably describe it. Once you see all that shit and then you come back to fucking Austin or whatever you are, it's got to be boring as hell.
You just don't stress out about stuff. Like, something happens and it's like, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's very even keel for the most part. It drives people crazy, but, like, you know, the world could be ending and it's like,
That's how he is.
Like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yep. Like,
yeah, that's how he is.
Like, or we won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. That's every single day. So you're the exact same way. You never get heated at a fucking, you know, HOA meeting or anything else. So you're I will end your fucking life today.
It's like, oh my gosh, the sun's lost. Whatever. never get too high, never get too low. And if it does happen, like, that's when it's serious business. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
And what do you do in real life now?
I just work a day job, man. I'm on the IT side, so I don't really have to talk to people very much, which is nice.
Kind of Zooms and shit like that?
Zooms, you know, regular meetings. I say, hey, guys, we need this to be built, and it needs to go out at this day and this time. And when they don't get it done, everybody freaks out around me, and I'm like, we'll figure it out. Like,
well, obviously,
this isn't that big of a deal.
But with the books and being an author and all that other stuff, do they know, people around you that you work with, that this is what you did?
Some of them do. Most of them have no idea, and then if they Google me, they're like, "Oh, that makes sense. That's why Morgan doesn't like lose his mind over stuff." Like,
really?
I've heard that like 3 or 4 times where people are like, "Oh, now it makes sense."
Yeah,
like, Morgan's just gonna figure it out. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
So looking back at all of it, all of Blackwater and all that other shit, the trials that have gone on and everything else, justified, not justified.
I mean, the reputation of Blackwater is definitely justified.
Okay.
There was a lot of good stuff that Blackwater did. There's a lot of bad stuff that Blackwater did. And really, I wrote the book because I'm tired of hearing, like, politicians write about stuff and generals that never were on the ground. So it's like a ground perspective of the book. It's not like, and then on our left flank, we had 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marine, like, whatever it is. Like, that's not my
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
It's not interesting for an audience either.
Yeah. So mine's like, literally, it starts, and you're sitting next to me, and it's in real time. Like, we're going through everything together as you're reading it. Because history is written by the victors, right? But usually the victors are, like, politicians or journalists that have never actually experienced it. So I was like, I'll write a book. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
It just kind of snowballed from there.
And what was the worst story in there that you told of Blackwater? Because you said there was good and bad. What was the worst one, you think, to come out of Blackwater?
I mean, it's my perspective. So, like, at the end of the day, I wasn't in Nisser Square. I don't know what the heck happened there. It's not my gig. But the way that we ran roughshod over the populace in Baghdad probably didn't win us a whole lot of hearts and minds. Probably didn't make the military's life a whole lot easier while they were over there.
We didn't do ourselves any favors either, to be honest.
I mean, how do you not raise an entire generation or country then just to fucking hate the U.S.?
Fuck them.
Well, Iran was like, hey, Iraq, we're going to send some missiles over. And Iraq's like, do it, bro.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't. There's no way they like us over there. Zero chance.
Sure.
Yeah.
And no way we give a fuck about them, because Dan and I talk about this on the show all the time. Whatever happens in the Middle East, it's like, let's stay the fuck out of it at this point.
Yeah, but we freed the shit out of them and gave them like trillions of dollars. So
are they? Are they doing well? Are they flourishing? with freedom.
Technically, we gave Raytheon and General Dynamics and Halliburton and Lockheed and Blackwater. Boeing and Blackwater and Academy.
Because
Triple
I mean,
Canopy, Dying Core, we gave them trillions of dollars.
A lot of people have said, man, we probably should have left Saddam in power because they don't know what the fuck to do without somebody being there to tell them what to do every fucking day.
Oh, it's like when you're watching the Avengers and you're like, Thanos kind of has a thing going on, right? like that's what I feel about Saddam is like, he's a dick and he's an asshole, but like he really ran the place well. Like it was nice and clean. Like,
dicks also fuck assholes, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah. You're looking back on it as a whole here, and then we'll let you get out of here after this. Should it have existed?
Blackwater had to.
Yeah, okay. The State Department didn't have the DSS personnel to do what they were doing.
Okay.
Well, and now what you're seeing is contractors are being used everywhere. It's easier, right? You don't have to train somebody up for 6 to 8 months to be part of the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, you name it. You can just bring in contractors. Who was that girl that like sold all the secrets? Her name is like Anniversary Happy or whatever. I can't even remember. They did a movie on it.
Oh, yeah. The chick from Georgia?
Yeah.
I think it's like Charity Winner.
Charity Winner, I think it was, yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing it everywhere. Like, the start of the Iraq War started the promulgation of contractors in its current state. So, they were a necessary evil. If it wasn't Blackwater, it was going to be somebody else. It was going to be Triple Canopy, Aegis. It was going to be whoever the heck could man that, right? But now it's just become such a line item in the government's budget that they just throw contractors at everything. So they had, like, the job had to be done, but now I think there's, like, this slippery slope where they're using contractors to move kids on the U.S. border, right? Illegal children, and they're just moving them across the country.
Yeah, MVM Inc. is the company that does that.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen it in real life.
Yeah.
Dan was actually the one who pointed it out to me because I didn't know it existed. But then when you see it and somebody tells you about it, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy looks like he was a fucking – he was a contractor. Like, that's what it looks like.
Well, and what happens, like, there's no accountability for the agency that hires the contractor. So it's really convenient for the State Department to say, oh, that was the bad Blackwater guys. Mm. Or DHS say, oh, that was the bad MVM guys. Okay. They didn't do their paperwork. This kid got sold into sex slavery.
That makes sense.
And if it's that convenient, why would they change the rules?
Right.
So it's just going to get worse. I mean, we have contractors in the Ukraine. We have them in Israel. We have them in Syria. Anywhere where there's like any kind of conflict, there's contractors there that are training people, right? So
wild.
It's not going to end.
Yeah. Well, happy ending today.
Yeah. Yeah. leave on a positive note. That's what I say.
We always do on this show. We also try to, at least. We have this thing called Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
So I was on the main network. There's a dude named Davey Jacobs, which is an awesome guy, always supportive.
Yeah.
I just want to give him a shout out, but it's got to be my wife. My wife is freaking amazing, and she's way, way hotter than I am. So I don't know what I did to deserve her.
I think
Davey
might be in here, actually.
Yeah,
Davey might be in the chat. We know Davey.
I think he's usually in the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we always see him.
Yeah, so Davey is a great guy, but I got to give it to my wife because, God, she puts up with me. Can you imagine?
I can't. How many years?
Oh, God, we're at like 12, man.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, he is in here, Davey Jacobson. You just outed his last name. People didn't know he was a fucking Jew.
Oh, look at that, dude.
Get him. Sorry.
What's
sorry,
up?
Davey.
We're all pro-Palestine over here, motherfucker.
Yeah, I actually have been protesting in my own home.
Yeah, he has.
I've just been standing in the doorway when my dogs are trying to get outside with a free Palestine
flag. He does it every single morning.
And do your dogs go out there, or do you scare them and they crap in the house and it doesn't work?
It's not working well.
Yeah.
No.
I'll say that.
Not working well.
But it backfires.
But hopefully the Israeli government is watching, and then obviously they'll free Palestine.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Palestine needs to be a real fucking place first.
Yeah,
and it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is Texarkana a real place?
Hard to say.
It's a fun nickname.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
fun nickname.
Yeah. I don't like it.
I don't think it exists.
If it does exist, let's get rid of it.
Exactly. The book is called Guns, Girls, Greed. I was a Blackwater mercenary in Iraq, and boom, here it is. It is available now. You're awesome, man. This was a fucking Amazing show. Usually when it just flies by like this and you don't even know you're on a podcast for the day, like these are our favorites, and you're cool as shit, man. So best of luck with everything, and thanks for being here today.
Can you write that somewhere, and then I'll hand it to my wife so she I say
yeah
Ross says I'm cool as shit, so
if just, you want just I set can up. Just sketch my dick out on your book and then give it back. Obviously we're going to have to, that's going to be multiple pages.
Yeah.
There, but,
fair.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can give that to her and it's almost like a scratch and sniff, you know?
So tracing, you're going to trace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody asked me to do that one time. That's why I brought it up.
That's how you, that's how I tried to draw a turkey in middle school. I got in a lot of trouble for that.
It's instead of your hands.
Yeah. It's your cock and nuts.
It's your ball sack.
Yeah.
And then your ding dong.
What I said was, this is a turkey that was in Vietnam and it got blown up. So what are you not? You don't support the fucking troops, bitch?
I'm just, it makes sense that you join the army then. Because
I'm a piece of shit.
If
yeah.
that was,
yeah.
you were like, this is my educated retort to your turkey.
No matter how many times I went to college, I just couldn't get it out of me.
No.
You know?
No.
Just a total piece of shit.
And same with you, Morgan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like right now, you have a nice IT guy facade, but underneath... You're a horrific human being.
Jonathan says it's a quad turkey. Just a turkey in a fucking wheelchair.
That'd be a great
funny
one,
would that be?
I can't wait for Thanksgiving. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, wait till they wheel out that turkey in the wheelchair.
A very retarded Thanksgiving.
Yeah, a Greg Abbott Thanksgiving. We're in Texas. That's our governor down here.
He can't walk.
Hit by a tree.
I know. I still roll with
doesn't,
it.
Doesn't he? Well, yeah. Fair enough. He doesn't stand for the anthem though. So.
No, he can't. Can't stand for anything. The later and later this gets, the darker and darker.
Yeah.
We appreciate you being here. Buy the book. It is out everywhere. Amazon's the easiest always to get the book. Be delivered to your house in under 48 hours. Great guy, Morgan. Thanks again for being here. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star and walk away. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.